Hi guys, welcome into this month's call. Today we're going to be talking about something a little bit timelier. As we move into the future, there's one topic everyone seems to always be thinking about at this point in time. So I guess I'll just get right into it. Do you believe in making New Year's resolutions?
I believe in resolutions. I don't think I need well, personally, I don't think anyone else needs that prompt of a date on a calendar. It's a bit like, you know, Valentine's Day. I don't really need a specific date to tell my partner I love them. It's just something you do. But it's nice that we have these rituals, these prompts, if you like, to say. And it's always, and I think there's always this thing where people wonder why weddings and funerals can set off people in actually a negative way. And it's that time when it's a time of reflection. A new year, a wedding, a funeral, they're all moments when you are forced to stop your current busy cycle and you're reminded of, what have I done with my life? What did I do over the last year? Especially on New Year's. And it's not even just New Year's, it's Christmas. We think, well, everyone, when people say to me, always at Christmas time, you know, I know we're going back a little bit now, but it's all the same sort of thing, New Year's resolutions. They always say, you know, well, where did a year go? And without wishing to sound flippant or arrogant, I know exactly where my year went. I'm absolutely exhausted because of it. You know, I had a lot to do and had a very specific to-do list, and you get on with it. I think when we're unsettled at weddings and funerals and New Year's and stuff like that, it's because we don't feel as though we're making progress in some way towards our life. In fact, you know, the definition of happiness is a sense of contentment towards about your life. And I'll take that one a little bit further and say happiness, I think, it's a sense of feeling that your life is moving in the right direction. That is what leads to your contentment, you know. And so we typically don't, you know, like I said, if we don't feel like that's what's been happening through no fault other than our own, then we get unsettled or even depressed. And I think a lot of people, I think, you know, the suicides go up around Christmas, and it's not just because of, you know, they feel lonely or it's, you know, not meeting their expectation. I think it's because, you know, what am I doing with myself? What, we're asking those same old questions, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What is the point in it all? And some people, they fall off the edge because of that. So resolutions are very important, important thing to do for all these reasons. And, you know, Why not make it? Yes, it's a new year, and as you rightly point out, I think it's very exciting. It's a new decade. You know, this is a real inflection point. Is that, you know, what will you do in the 2020s? You know, to take, it's a much more, you know, nice bigger time frame. It's like, well, how will I finish the end of this year? But a decade is such a long time. Mm-hmm. So much can happen, you know, in a decade, you know, especially if you're a very hyper person like myself, has always got, you know, different things going on, constantly throwing balls out into the universe. What's the universe going to throw back at you in 10 years? So it's kind of cool, to exciting to make a 10-year. I think the important thing is, we're not trying to do any fortune telling here. We're not trying to make, you know, these, oh, what, where will I be? What will happen? As if it's entirely in the fate, hands of fate. I mean, it is to an extent, but it's how you influence the fates, mm-hmm. you know, and that all starts with you. So, you know, I very much believe in, you know, making these so-called resolutions, or, you know, what I would call a goal, and having a deadline attached to it, and a start of a new year like we are at right now, mm-hmm. start of a decade, even more exciting.
Mm-hmm, for sure, yeah. But you did talk about how people kind of set themselves up for putting off positive change until a certain benchmark. So like, for example, the new year, you look at it as an opportunity to start anew, but is that a damaging mindset to have, in that you reserve positive change for a certain time in your life and you don't enact on it until you reach that benchmark? Is that something that kind of damages us?
Yeah, I think it's going back to what I was saying before. It's that feeling of, yes, you can set yourself up if you don't plan goals. One, two, if your goals, and this is a very important thing, because I mean, we're talking about resolutions, but, you know, it's goal setting, you know, which is another word, you know, for a resolution. Sort of just says, look, I am no longer going to do this. Or, you know, that's a lot of it. I'm going to cut smoking, right? I'm going to stop drinking, stuff like that. I'm going to, you know, so first thing I want to say is that try and make them a positive statement. Mm-hmm. It's not going to say, don't say what I hate, say what I love. Mm-hmm. You know, don't say I am anti-war, say I am pro-peace. So make things, you know, always of a positive and a positive light, and set the goal. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. It gets tricky on two counts. Firstly, set the goal that's not too high that you're going to blow it. Going back to what you're saying about setting ourselves up for the fall, but at the same time, I don't want to have it so low that it doesn't actually, you know, get me anywhere. And the next thing is, so that's really something that you have a personal thing. You know how much free time you have available. You know your skill set. Not that you can't acquire new skills. You have a reasonable idea about the sort of things that you know, how far you can go in terms of setting this. Having said that, if you've got a gap in your knowledge, then fill it. You know, look for every way to do as much as you can, you know, in a certain time frame. And the next thing is then, when should this deadline be? So if you want to make it, this is a year's goal, then fine, a year is a very decent chunk of time to get something done. But do have a deadline, otherwise it just simply won't happen, you know? So that's the damaging mindset to have is going to be, especially, you know, I mean, I take goals very seriously. If I write a goal down, it's written in blood. So I have to be very careful, because I will, you know, be very self-critical if I haven't met the goal that I've set myself. So to get out of that feeling where, you know, we're requiring change only for any New Year's resolution, I mean, a lot of it really is an excuse, because it allows us to put things off and say, well, I'm going to do that next year. I'll worry about that next year. Oh, I blew all my goals for this year. So what? Ha ha. Well, there's only 5 months to go to the end of the year. Let's just, you know, and this is how we go. You know, we were always constantly looking for, you know, the easier route, because that's just who we are as human animals. We're always looking for the most amount of calorie gain for the least amount of calorie burn. This goes back to a very primal hunting, actually, where, you know, we don't want to, you know, burn excess calories, and we always tend to go on the, you know, the side of, you know, for want of a better word, being lazy. Mm-hmm. But what, going back to, you know, when we're setting these, you know, setting, you know, the damaging mindset to have is making sure that this is something you really, really want, mm-hmm. and not something that society or anyone else has told you that you should want.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you did talk about it a little bit in terms of things that you would recommend to not feel like you have to reserve positive change for a specific time frame if you're putting off doing something. So you talk about turning things into positive statements as opposed to negative statements and setting deadlines for yourself. But do you have any other specific recommendations to kind of break that mindset that society puts on us that says you have to reserve change for the specific time frame?
I mean, I you've got to look at, if it comes down to impressing society and doing what society wants, you really have to start looking at society itself and wondering, who is this entity? What is this entity that I'm constantly trying to impress? And so let's talk about society and who is this person who's telling me what to do and when I should do it by? Society is really a very fickle machine. If you think about what society wanted us to do not even 5-10 years ago, it would be very different to what it wants us to do today. It acts like a paranoid schizophrenic. So, you know, you really have to ask yourself, why am I constantly trying to impress a person who acts like a mental patient? You know, you've got to stop care, and it's very difficult, I know, because we have, again, going back to, you know, primal instincts, we have an inbuilt need to conform. We have an inbuilt need to conform, which means to go along. We have to fit in with the rest of the tribe, because if the tribe ostracizes us, leaves us behind, we will starve. That's programmed into 2.5 million years of genetic mutation. It's certainly not going to go away in, you know, of 200 years of the Industrial Revolution, which basically is like less than 0.01% of our genetic existence. So these things are in us, and they're driving us without us knowing. And as you know, it's a huge, pretty much the premise of my new book that's coming out in next January, of that whole that thing that drives us, and understanding it. And in this case, breaking free of it. Sometimes these ancient genetic instincts are working for us, but you know, frankly, a lot of the time they have to either be adapted, tuned to modern life, or simply ignored. And this is just one of those cases where conformity with the tribe, conformity with society, isn't going to. It's certainly going to win you more friends. Mm-hmm. It's going to make you get more likes on your social media page, but it's not going to get you to the goals you set yourself, which should be based on who you are and what it is you truly want. And so do some real soul searching, and not listening to other people and what they're doing, because you're a unique individual the goal you set yourself has got to make your soul sing. You know, it widens your eyes, you realize it's your purpose, and not just because you think you have to. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, kind of just touching on societal influence and kind of a common example of goals that you think you should set. I know that health is very important to you personally, but also that's one of those things that it's something that you should be aiming to improve. I mean, for yourself, for your own purposes, like you were explaining, but perhaps the undue societal influence is kind of driving that. So the majority of resolution examples are something like pledging to join a gym or to eat healthier in the new year. So not only is putting off those changes detrimental to your health, but it sets this inescapable precedent that you give yourself leeway in between letting yourself kind of be lazy, like you said, as opposed to enacting right. positive change. How do you stop procrastinating on things like that when it is something that you should be enacting?
You raise an excellent point here, Taylor. The specificity of your goal is very key to this whole thing. Because you see, if I make a statement such as, you know, let's stay on healthy, and I make a statement such as, I'm going to eat healthier in the new year. Mm-hmm. That's a very vague goal. The supercomputer between your ears, your brain, doesn't know what to do with vague inputs like eat more healthy. It needs a much more specific plan where, you know, you actually say, well, every morning I'm going to make a smoothie and the contents of it are as follows. Mm-hmm. That's a resolution. It's a good starting point, mm-hmm. but you see how you have to evolve. This has to go through a few evolutions before it becomes something that's going to stick and something that's workable. So that's the first thing. I'm going to eat healthy. Okay, how am I going to do that? Specifics broken down by daily actions. And then you're going to have to consider the fact, you know, that I'm actually going to have to do this, you know, and then you've got to make it a habit. Typically 30 days of doing that, you just end up doing it, mm-hmm. and so on. Things like joining a gym, you know, that gets more specific, but you know, you have to say, well, when am I going to join the gym by? You know, that should be like today. What's stopping you joining the gym today? But now you're another thing. Okay, well, and how often am I mm-hmm. going to go, and how long am I, you know what I mean? So it has to be broken down into daily chunks that become habit, and then before you know it, you will accomplish this goal. And I know health is a very typical one, and also losing weight and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think we get there's this whole controversy now about, well, you know, I'm comfortable in my body, I weigh 500 pounds, but that's just who I am. Here's an example of society and its current fad actually endangering you. Mm-hmm. It's just a medical fact that cardiovascular disease is now twice of what cancer is in terms of, you know, killing us. Mm-hmm. And being overweight does lead to, you know, lots of diseases and death. That's not saying we've got to be mean to people who are overweight. It's just medical fact. So it is a very worthwhile thing to do. You know, be a healthy weight. It's going to lead to other problems.
Mm-hmm. And those kinds of changes that you're discussing, the ones that you need to be making for yourself in particular, those kind of comes down a lot to habit formation, like you were saying, that you kind of just have to do it for 30 days in a row and just get into that habit. Do you have any personal tips to create new healthy habits as opposed to holding on to old kind of detrimental ones?
Yeah, and it is that hard. The hardest part is that habit forming with this, it's got, when you, frankly, it's just that raw willpower required to break through that sound barrier until it comes habit and and that's it. And after, when it does become habit, though, you'll miss it. You'll want to do. Oh, I haven't had my gym today. I haven't had my smoothie today. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the day is complete. So it's just getting past that initial thing. You know, getting yourself out of bed. If that's what required, which raises a good point, getting yourself out of bed that little bit earlier, mm-hmm. going to bed that little bit later. And people who say I don't have time for this, then it's a very, very easy solution. Mm-hmm. You just change the alarm clock setting. And so, but it's breaking through that initial phase of, you know, just got to cut on through it. And what helps you is because, especially let's take, for example, something like, you know, losing weight. We could start today on a very brutal regime of losing weight, but I'm probably not going to see any physical results for like a minute, like week or two before I actually start to see a reward. Remember, because we are primal creatures who expect if we put some risk out there, put some effort out there, we're going to receive something in return. You know, we're like animals who just expect something. You know, we're like dogs who want a treat for doing something. And it's going to be that getting you through that first phase where you want to see something coming back for your efforts. And this is, you know, in most cases, that's just an element of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to have a, you know, a picture of me in my, you know, heavier self, perhaps on the fridge. And things like you're in control in the grocery store, for example, mm-hmm. you know, just don't bring that stuff in the house, you know. But it's that once you start to see the rewards, you know, that is when you're encouraged to do better. But there's really no easy answer for that. It's just that raw willpower required. It comes down to how much do you want it, you know.
For sure, yeah. I mean, but sometimes even on our best days, as much as you want to make that change, sometimes that willpower does falter. I mean, even the strongest of us sometimes doesn't complete that goal each day.
Let me just add something there, actually, because it's that give yourself that, if you want a diet, let's say, in fact, if anything, you know, give yourself a day a week when you can pretty much do what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't waste the whole week's work by binging on chocolate, but, you know, you give yourself that. You've been good this week. You may not be seeing a reward, but okay, have a day off. And that can apply to anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say I'm studying all this week, or, you know, writing all this week. You just give yourself a day off, and you end up hating the process, you know.
For sure, yeah. So, I mean, in those lapses, perhaps, in your, maybe not the ones that are planned so much, but research shows that before the month of January is even over, the majority of people kind of fall off their wagon if they do have that New Year's resolution set out for themselves. Actually, it's 80% of people that reportedly fail to keep their New Year's resolutions altogether. Why do you think we have such a low success rate in this social phenomenon that's kind of lasted so long? Because it is kind of an expectation that, like, strangers will ask you, what were your New Year's resolutions? And by the end of January, we kind of say, oh, those, I forgot about them. Like, why do you think we have such a low success rate?
This is a great point, an interesting statistic that I haven't seen before that I'm not surprised about. And really highlights the sort of things I've been saying so far, you know, which is, you know, why. There's so many reasons why, and so soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect this is just what we're talking about then. We're in that 30-day period, interestingly, where, you know, they just can't break through that initial barrier. You know, was the specificity that I'm going to eat healthy in the new year, I end up eating at McDonald's every day. Your brain didn't know what to do with such a command, you know. Breaking it down into breaking is the other thing, is one of my favorite expressions, which is turning, not, we're not making mountains out of molehills, we want to make molehills out of mountains. So we are taking that large goal, let's give ourselves some specificity and say, I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year. Great, you've now got a specific goal, and you've got a deadline as well, so that's actually, on the surface of it, that's a great goal, 100 pounds in a year. But the problem we have right now is still, because we still have an issue, because the brain is looking at this goal of 100 pounds and it can't see readily something it can do today to lose 100 pounds, other than go for liposuction, right? And even then, I'm not sure how much they can take off you. So you're still stuck, and this can, you know, you've got a lot of good things going for you there. You've got specificity, you've got a deadline, but it can still not work. And the reason it's not going to work is because it's not, you haven't taken the mountain and turned it into a molehill. What you need to do with that, and this applies to all goals, this is just a great example with weight loss, but it also applies to financial and all kinds of things. You need to take, okay, I've got 12 months to lose 100 pounds. So I need to lose 8 pounds a month. And now my brain is starting to see, it can see how that could be very easily done. I mean, 8 pounds a month, nothing. So that means I've got to lose 2 pounds a week. And what do I have to do today to accomplish that 2 pound weight loss this week? You know, and now you can see that, I mean, that's really a small amount. You're not going to have to really break your neck to accomplish that. But if you do this religiously every day, it mm-hmm. becomes your habit, it's your mantra, then as if, and this is where the magic really happens, is that as if by magic, you will get to the end of the year and people will be saying to you, I don't know where a year has gone, you know, and you'll say, oh, I know exactly where it's gone. I lost 2 pounds a week this year and mm-hmm. that, and I look and feel great for it. And it happens as if by magic when you mm-hmm. when you break it down like that. And the other important thing that brings to mind is the visualization of doing it to help you get through that. Mm-hmm. You see yourself shopping wisely. You see yourself at the gym. You see yourself very clearly, a picture of you perhaps from before when you weren't as heavy. You know, you can put that on the wall. You know, that you, I have a vision. This is the power of something, you know, what we call the law of attraction, where you get the thing that you focus on. You get mm-hmm. the thing you're thinking about constantly. And that is a very, very powerful secret for all life goals.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, and not to bring down the mood here, but we do have to kind of discuss that. I mean, I don't have to be a psychological professional to think that if we do have these emotional, you pin all your hopes and dreams and goals on these resolutions that you make, and then we, of course, stare down that 80% failure rate. I mean, it's kind of unrealistic to have these lofty aspirations that we all set up for ourselves, especially if you take part in this phenomenon. So, I mean, it lowers your self-esteem, it lowers your self-efficacy. I mean, why do you think we inevitably make ourselves feel worse while trying to feel better?
I think if we're not careful, we can beat ourselves over the head too much. This whole process involves going down a road that the phrase you use exactly right. You know, this disappointment in ourselves, because if we are setting a goal, we are having to admit to something. Probably, you know, we've done wrong. We've taken a wrong road in life. We're beating ourselves up. And it's important that it's handled carefully, and it becomes a positive thing where we take accountability for ourselves and our actions. Because it's harsh truth, but it is a truth, is that you're in your place that you're in right now for no other reason than the choices you've made. Okay, that's not to beat yourself up, it's to give yourself a realistic starting point. But that doesn't mean you fall off the edge and go down a spiral of, you know, self-destruction. That it's healthy to get all this out in the open and not live in the fantasy world that is becoming ever more prevalent, where, no, it's just going to be whatever I want it to be. No, it's this right now. And you're going, the point being is that you're going to do something about it, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to end up in a downward spiral of, you know, self-defecation, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really good point, but how much of that disappointment do you think that we owe maybe to just the mainstream crowd?
Right, society. How much do you owe going to back somebody to society.
Else? Yeah.
Yeah.
That disappointment in yourself. I mean, is it really all originating from yourself, or how much
yeah.
is that?
I think it's very
fault?
Much to do with society. I think we're living in a world where, you know, we are constantly exposed to the best of the Joneses social media page, and how many likes. We're judged by how many likes we have, how many friends we have. We've got teens who are killing themselves because they don't have many likes as their friends. We're living in frankly, it's a creeping horror that, you know, we are responsible for. And it's, you know, you never see anyone's Facebook page or whatever saying, here's a picture of my credit card bill. Here's a picture of my wife and I having a brutal fight. Mm-hmm. You know, all you're ever going to see of other people now is on the internet is, here's a perfect life. And the human brain is a comparing engine. That's just how we are for the purposes of survival. And it's constantly comparing. And if you, all you're exposed to, because we don't leave the house anymore either, so the only thing we see of the world is someone else's, you know, social media page. Mm-hmm. And all our brain is ever exposed to is perfection, whether it be on social media or celebrity magazines. We look in the mirror, and it doesn't compare, because our brain is constantly comparing. And in some cases, we want to kill ourselves. So this is a very, very important point, and it's becoming, you know, worse than ever. And so it's great that, you know, you've raised this concern, and to also break free of this conformity, mm-hmm. to, you know, join in with the disaster, mm-hmm. you know. And it's a hugely, you know, it's close to my own heart. It's very much what my new book is about. Mm-hmm. It's a thing, you know, you have to break free of the herd behavior mm-hmm. that wants to please other people, everyone else apart from yourself, you know, family included, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the time it's, you know, family's expectations, everyone else's expectations, but your own, you know, and that takes a lot of will and self-belief to separate yourself, you know, from the herd mm-hmm. like that. But that comes from learning more about yourself and what your purpose is in life mm-hmm. as a driver, and having the faith and the clarity in you know, your own personal purpose. And that is, again, that's really what my book's about, and a big story for another time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And speaking of books, actually, Leah and I do focus quite a bit on physical health. I know that it's something that's very important to you, both in your professional and personal life. 55% of New Year's resolutions are health related. So just kind of picking your brain a little bit, what would you suggest if you're looking to make a big change in your physical lifestyle, especially in the beginning of the year, because you have talked about the specificity of your goals.
We can make some very easy changes. If you're in a lifestyle where, you know, you don't even have a particularly bad lifestyle, but it's just what most people do, making some very small changes could have a big effect. And really the battle is won or lost in the supermarket. Don't bring in, you know, think of it in terms of these lines. Everything is about a very clever mechanism we have in our bodies for ancient times, when it's all about calorie storage and insulin spikes. In ancient times, if we saw a tree full of fruit, the only sensible thing to do was to gorge all the fruit as quickly as possible before some animal comes and takes it. And how are we supposed to absorb all these, the calories would just be wasted unless we store them. So insulin, our bodies developed insulin as a way of converting that sugar into fat mm-hmm. as a way of storing those calories for another time. In modern times, with our excess food supply, that's a disastrous mechanism. And understand that everything is about insulin spikes, or what's called the GI, you know, GI index. So really, sugar is the killer, you know? It's, you know, that, look at all the ingredients. Everything these days that's processed has got some kind of added sugar in it. That is just, without even realizing, just building up your, insulin spikes constantly. So, you know, start to think in those terms. And we're very much addicted to sugar. I mean, experiments have shown that, you know, mice were offered a choice of cocaine or sugar, and they chose the sugar. So mm-hmm. you're basically hooked on a drug that the food manufacturers got you hooked on. And yeah, it's going to be tough to begin with, going cold turkey off the drug, but you're going to have to cut it out. Little things, though, for example, like xylitol, it looks like sugar, it tastes like sugar. It doesn't have a weird aftertaste. It's a mm-hmm. third of the calories of sugar. But if you use sugar a lot, say in coffee and stuff like that, just making stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A very, very simple one, I call it, if you want to give yourself a real nice kickstart without having much sacrifice, I call it the 50% plan, right? Eat whatever you would go, not, it doesn't mean you can eat twice as much or go nuts with anything, whatever you normally would eat in a week, especially, this is a great one, if you have a romantic partner, just order one portion and then split it two ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, you know, you want that sensation of the taste on your tongue mm-hmm. that you're used to, but if you're honest, halfway through a Big Mac, you don't really need it. You've had the taste. You're really just being gluttonous. So have whatever you would normally have, but have the willpower. And it's easier when you're with someone to just divide it in half. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I mean, you've literally halved your calorie intake. Mm-hmm. And a man, just by existing, burns about 2,500 calories a day. A woman, I think, is around 1,500 calories a day. So if you don't even need to go to the gym to lose weight, if you think about it, if you consume less than what it burns to just exist, mm-hmm. and you have without getting too crazy about it, you have a mental note in your mind about calorie intake, mm-hmm. you can just lose it as if by magic.
Wow.
That's a very easy little kickstart mm-hmm. for people, without, because it's the shock, that initial, that's what puts a lot of people off, and it's a good point, is that the shock to the system mm-hmm. of just suddenly stopping. As I say, in the case of sugar, you're addicted to a drug, and you need to go to rehab. Mm-hmm. Basically, and you wean yourself off of it, and it's tough, you know.
Mm-hmm. For sure, and that's kind of why I wanted to get your opinion on that, because I do know that you do have, of course, years of research and just a very personal stake and things like that. So kind of just switching gears here to your other area of expertise, finance is a huge topic, especially in, I mean, it's kind of health and finance, they kind of battle each other for dominance in these New Year's resolutions. So coming off of the Santa Claus rally, tax season is coming up. We kind of expected the January hangover by now. You and I have kind of been talking about how it didn't really hit us the way we were expecting it to. But at this point, do you think it's a good idea to make financial resolutions instead of traditional ones, like health-related ones that you and I were just discussing? Or,
I mean, I think, I mean, we're each individual, and there's only so many, you know, resolutions, if you like, we can each handle and manage, depending on the length of them. So I think it's a personal thing, but I don't think it helps. I think to divide, you know, everything we want out of life, mm-hmm. to divide it up into sections, if you can possibly do that. So, you know, we've got our own, we've got money, we've got health, we've got love, we've got, you know, I think personal development, fulfillment, purpose, things like that, meaning, the higher level stuff to consider as well. So I think if you can compartmentalize things, you know, I mean, because the danger is, you see, is that you're going to fixate on one thing and ignore something else. You know, mm-hmm. if I get too focused on financial concerns, how is this having an effect on my relationships? Mm. You know, because I think too many of us, you know, we skipped over this one as well, too many of us don't make romantic resolutions. Mm-hmm. That's an important one that can creep up and bite you if you're not mindful of it. So I don't think you can have too many, but you've got to be able to manage them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I've found, you know, in life that the more you sit back on your laurels on something, the more it kind of tries to sort of creep up on you. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to miss anything out, but again, it's a good point. You've got to just be able to manage, find out all the things you think need work on. This is a great starting point. All the things I just spoke about, really the key subjects are health, mm-hmm. money, love, personal fulfillment and purpose, things like that. And then prioritize which one of these things in your life needs the most work right mm-hmm. now. And being brutally honest about it. And then if you have to pick one, that's really your starting point is prioritize. Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah. And I mean, let's say that you do have, for example, you do prioritize health let's just say for 2020, you do set that goal that you have the goal to lose 100 pounds at the end of the year, but you also kind of want to, I don't know, maybe develop your retirement savings. You want to work more on that. Is that something that you think you could set up passive income? Or is there a goal that you should save $10 a week and kind of just let it automatically do its thing and focus on your resolution that you talked about, exactly like the losing the 2 pounds a week? How would you go about things like that? Would you say to drop one in favor of the other, or kind of just balance the two?
I think it's an individual thing, because I mean, I'm very much a multitasker mm. kind of person who's got to have several things on the go at once, but I know that blows a lot of people's minds. So it's a tricky thing. If we get too focused on one thing, we kind of steal from something else and something like that. But if you can possibly compartmentalize your day and your thoughts, that helps. Going back to the priorities. And I think the other thing is to be flexible, you know. Mm. If you find, of course, halfway through the year that, you know, I've got to stick to my 2 pounds a week weight loss target, but I've got, you know, bailiffs knocking on my door trying to kick me out of my house, you know, that is the thing, especially for me, where I get so focused on goals and I can become overly, like, too rigid if I'm not careful, where, you know, you have to be flexible as the year goes on. You have to be able to adapt. And if, you know, you've had a bad month and you let yourself go because you're on vacation or whatever, then, you know, next month I'm going to have to adapt the goal to lose 4 pounds, you know. Mm. So there is definitely an element of flexibility. And this is one thing that stops people making goals. It's like, I can't possibly know all these things that are going to happen. I can't guarantee. Why would I do that? We do the best we can, but it's certainly better than doing nothing and getting to another end of the year and saying, where did that year go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. I mean, and just say, for example, that we do decide to prioritize our finances, for example, in the coming days. From an investing standpoint, do you think it's a good time at the beginning of the year to get involved? Or is there a specific time frame that, if you've never invested before, you want to get into it?
It's a great point in terms of investing, because the market doesn't operate on our schedule. It mm-hmm. operates on its schedule. So especially in terms of, like, say we're going to trade, this is a great point. If I'm going to make 10% a year trading stocks, mm-hmm. okay, so sorry, 10% a month trading stocks. But this could be a lousy month.
Yeah.
You know, and the temptation that, or the biggest one people think, people actually say this to me face to face, they'll say, I need to make $500 a day trading stocks. That's wonderful. But today there could be no nice setups for trading stocks, you know, but next week there could be 20. So, people can come unstuck doing that because they're now going to look for trades to make that aren't worthy of your time. And you start seeing things that aren't there and making lousy trades. So, when it comes to trading, you've really got to have a much wider and say, then you are going to have to be, say, I think on average, I'm probably going to be able to trade maybe, it's a bull market, I may be able to trade 8 months of the year. Or, I'm going to get more specific, of the 10 trades I'm going to make this year, I'm expecting to lose three, gain seven, and the overall has to be something in that ballpark. But yeah, other things, and it's even with the housing market, you know, I mean, I'm going to make money from real estate this year. That's great. What part are we at in the cycle? You know, are we in an up cycle or a down cycle? Are there any things that are worth flipping this month, right? So your financial goals are trickier, and you need a broader timeline and to understand that, you know, you're at the mercy of much more of the mercy of the fates with that one, you know?
For sure, yeah.
But that, not to let that stop you doing it, though.
Yeah, so kind of just as to what you were saying, you're trying not to lose any of that specificity for those goals, but you do want to make sure that you're being realistic. And there are some things, of course, like you were discussing, that you can control in your goals and the things that you should control in your goals with your willpower and things like that. But again, with finances and other things that are out of your control, there are things that you kind of have to open your eyes to the realities of it and say, there are some things that I can't change, but I need to be flexible with it, for sure. So kind of just zooming into you specifically, if you're comfortable talking about it, looking into the new decade, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, on a personal note, it's I've also mentioned my new book's coming out next year, and I'm shifting into kind of newish, more new territory for me, which is the much more psychological, spiritual side of things. I think I've pretty much, you know, not to discount it, but I feel like I've you know, conquered a lot of the financial and health matters and stuff like that. So it's this is a much more abstract subject and genre to head into, and so I'm, you know, very excited about that. I think we're at, you know, going back to points that we've touched on, we're living in a time where I think people are spiritually destitute. We have nothing inside. We feel nothing inside because we have nothing inside, and we're living in a very hollow culture that is looking for direction, and I want to play a part in offering people a choice with that. Regarding financial matters and the markets, I think this is going to be a very potentially volatile decade as we see cycles start to end. I think the real estate cycle is probably going to start turning. We haven't had a recession for a long time. This will be the decade for sure. We do see a recession, I think, and we do see a housing market correction at some point, not yet. We're talking about a few years ahead, but it's, you know, speaking about the decade, most of all, I think this is really where we're looking closely at, you know, how much more can fiat currencies stand of government interference and money printing before it really takes a destructive turn. So, you know, it's also exciting times because I think on the other side of the turmoil, we're going to see a golden age of amazing technological and, you know, biotech and cryptocurrencies. Truly, well, for all the trauma and disruption it can cause on the way, truly exciting times ahead. And I feel privileged to be here, I hope, for this, what will be, you know, certainly, I think the best way to describe it is that the 2020s will be exciting, and it will be one thing you'll be able to say, that tell your grandkids that you were there for.